First of all, thank you for coming. Second of all, thank you to Daniel and the Ratner family for sponsoring. Third of all, thank you to Moshe Chaim, Rabbi Blaitz, and Rabbi Goodman for their beautiful job that they do each time. The beautiful booklets, the beautiful attendance. It's tremendous. I want to start with two side points before we get to the actual topic which we're going to deal today. One question is the name of today's shiur. What is the status regard? We learned about mentioning the names of Avodah Zarah. They shouldn't be heard because of you, so obviously you shouldn't be saying them either. So am I allowed to say the name of today's shiur? Am I allowed to say Avodah Zarah is not a problem? Okay? I'm not saying anybody's name, but I start talking about the names of different types of gods. Am I allowed to do that? So what about saying the name of today's shiur, which is Christianity and Islam and Avodah Zarah? Am I allowed to say that name? So interestingly enough, let's go through that very quickly, very briefly, because a few people asked me about this. So the Gra points out, it's on the Loch and Shulchan Aruch, to say the name of an Avodah Zarah, which was a person's personal name, which eventually was elevated up to the name of being Avodah Zarah, is not prohibited. So say, and he says, my proof to it, because the more multiple places in the Gemara, the more it mentions the name of Oysa Ha'ish, of Yeshu. His name was Yeshu, and the more it mentions it in multiple places. So the saying his name, Jesus, is not prohibited. That's number one. Now, I do want to point out that there is one opinion which says that his name wasn't Yeshu. Because they disagree with the Vilna Gaon, they say his name was not Yeshu. Yeshu is an acronym for Yemach Shmo V'Zichroi. Okay. So his name wasn't really Yeshu. His name was something else. So they gave him that name because it was close enough to his name. And it had a good meaning to it in a good Jewish hinting way. So that's what some opinions say. Okay. But the Vilna Gaon posits that that's mutter. However, to mention a Derech Kavod is prohibited. So the word Christ is a Greek word which means Mashiach, means the anointed one, like a christening, etc. It's an anointed one. So to give him his title, not just his name, but to give him his name plus his title, is prohibited. Okay, so now, the next step is mentioning the name of a holiday which celebrates that, is the same problem. So the name of the holiday, which is not, it doesn't say his name, but it says his status, and we're celebrating his status, that's a problem already. But it's not mentioning that they're covered, just saying factually this is what these people do is not prohibited. So the name of the actual name of Christianity is not a problem, but saying the name of the holiday, December 25th, saying the name of the holiday would be a problem in halacha. So if you want to understand the difference between the two. Now, last point, the letter X is a Greek letter, X, which is actually the first letter of the word Christ in Greek starts with the letter X. So it wasn't some Jewish idea came up. It actually was. It was a symbolism which was decided by the church. When they gave him this name, using this Greek word, that name, the letter X represented that. So changing it from the name of the holiday to saying X and saying the holiday doesn't solve the problem. Okay, that's one halakhic discourse. Okay, that's the first point. So again, the name of the say that this is their religion that they do. That's a fact. That's not. I'm not saying that they're covered. And that's not a problem. Islam is not a problem. That again, that's describing the religion that they're doing. Whether you hold as a Avodah Zarah or not, again, it's the same thing. And a Avodah Zarah, we're not saying the name. That's number one. Number two, somebody came we along the way in the shir, we touched on a little bit the background, the idea of doing business with the non-Jews. What about doing business in items for the non-Jews? There's a famous Chumash HaRamah, somebody, I mentioned this, I was in Woodside a few weeks ago, I mentioned this, the Chumash HaRamah, that somebody wanted to do business selling crosses. You know, Jew needs to make a living, you know. There's a lot more goyim out there than our Jews. Selling stars of David is not where it's at. Let's go for selling, you know, right? So is that permitted? So the Ramah said it's actually permitted because it's not something that they actually worship. It's a symbol of that they you wear their covet of their about their avodah zarah. It's not an actual. It's not actually prohibited. So the similar person would want to sell ornaments for the holiday, etc. So he says it's permitted. So it reminds me of a story, right? Reminds me of a story about this fellow again. You know, he needs to make a business. They make a parnasa. So he looks around. He finally realizes that this is the best business. You know, he's a little uncomfortable. You know, going into that business, he's not going to use his name Moshe. You know, he's going to say Moshe. I'm ordering. You know, as he calls up for the supplier, says his name is Mark, and he wants to order 10,000 crosses. So the fellow on the other side says, "Mit the Yoizel or on the Yoizel?" For those of you who don't know, you're saying Yiddish. It means with the guy in the front or without him. A bit in Yiddish. So, okay. So remind you of that story. So actually, I heard the joke is a famous joke. It's a true with Ramah, and we mutter with the Yoizel also. Okay. Okay, today's topic is how for a Jew to undertake to accept this religion is clearly prohibited. That's the first piece of Gemara that you had. The person takes the name of God together with another name. He adds somebody else in, giving and elevating him to a status of being some type of a higher being is prohibited. That's clear. The question is this prohibited for a non-Jew? Now let's clarify the background to the question. We know that there are seven mitzvahs, there are seven commandments which apply to non-Jews the same way they apply to the Jews, they apply to the non-Jews. And one of these seven mitzvahs, one of the seven commandments of the Bnei Noach is the prohibition of what's known as Avodah Zarah. So the same way we could argue, the same way that we say for a Jew, the definition of Avodah Zarah, of this service, this other form of foreign service, applies to combining another entity together with God. So similarly, that applies to the non-Jew. So therefore, this religion, which they do that, whatever form they do it in, now the issue of this prohibition of combining the two does not mean that they're equal. It's not limited to a scenario where they're equal. He has two deities on the same level, Chas v'Shalom. Even if one is higher and one is lower. And that you got to the Rambam. The Rambam says that actually this was the original process how Avodah Zarah developed. Originally, God created the world. Adam knew him directly. His children knew about that directly. The next generation came along and said, it's not the honor of God to talk to him directly. There's beings in the middle. There's powers in between. Let's talk to them. Recognizing that the highest level is, of course, the Creator, is God. But putting these things on a lower level is also prohibited. That's the Rambam says that was actual Avodah Zarah. That was how Avodah Zarah started, and that was already wrong. So in the Rambam's version, this was not for Jews. This is for non-Jews. So the Rambam's version, the Rambam is very clear, and the Rambam gives us the history of Avodah Zarah. The Rambam already describes this idea of having a higher God and a lower power as being actual Avodah Zarah. And this was what was prohibited to the non-Jew. So the Rambam clearly is on record, right there, before we get to discuss what he talks about directly to the other religions, the Rambam is clearly on record that this idea of what's known as shituf, of combining two things together, is prohibited. That's clear in the Rambam. The question is are there other opinions who argue that this idea of shituf, this idea of combining together with God, another power, albeit even lower, albeit an intermediary, That idea, is that limited to the Jew, or that applies even to the non-Jew? Is this a new prohibition, or is this a detail in the prohibition of Avodah Zarah? If the detail in Avodah Zarah applies to the non-Jew as well, if it's a new prohibition, this new prohibition doesn't apply, possibly, it only applies to the Jews. So that's the question. So I feel that the Rambam is very compelling. I have to tell you that I saw a source which feels the Rambam says the Rambam otherwise. Mm-hmm. Wants to suggest that the Rambam otherwise. I did not put into the packet, but I just give you a little bit of background. The Rambam, the beginning of his magnum opus, the beginning of the Yad Chazakah, the Mishnah Torah, he starts with the first mitzvah, Zanach Hashem Elokecha. That's the primary mitzvah, the Emunah in Hashem. He says, explains what that means, believing in the Hashem is the source, etc. He goes through, and then he says, knowing this is a positive commandment, and denying this is a negative commandment. The positive commandment of Menachem Hashem Elokecha, I am your God, believe in that, and the prohibition is, lo yilecha, there should not be any other God. Then he says, that's in the Halacha Vav, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav. In Perek Zayin, in Halacha Zayin, he says, Elokazeh Echad Hu. He's one and not two. And that's the mitzvah Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, right, Jew, Hashem Echad. So the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, it's only Hashem and nothing else, that's only for the Jews. Wow. So here I'm telling you that Anoichi and Lo Yehi Lecha applies even to the whole world, that applies to everybody, because that's the prohibition of having another power. But the idea there's only one, only for the Jews. That's all. That's what he wants to understand. And this Rambam points out in this Rambam, the Rambam seems to indicate that. I think the other Rambam is compelling, not like that. And the explanation over here, for those of you who are interested, we'll discuss it after the shir. Those who want to hear how to understand, it's a little bit complicated what I think the Rambam is saying. But I want to point out, even in the opinion of the Rambam, there's going to be a disagreement how to understand the Rambam's where he stands on the issue of shituf, this idea of having another power together, does it apply to non-Jews? What's interesting is you saw in the booklet on page 4, that the more brings the source for the prohibition of shituf, of combining something with God, the more brings doesn't bring the pasuk of Anoichi. The more doesn't bring the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The more doesn't bring the pasuk of Lo'yeh Lecha. The more brings the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim of Zaveich LeElohim Yocharam Bilti LaHashem Levadai. Those who would serve, would worship, literally sacrifice to the God, it will be destroyed. Only to Hashem you're allowed to serve. So the more it derives from that, Bilti LaHashem Levadai, only to Hashem. So that's the source. I mean, if you look in the Chumash and in the pasuk of Lo Yehi Lecha Elohim Acherim Apanoi, right, in the Decalogue, in the Seres Hadibros. So the first verse of the Seres Hadibros, I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Lo Yehi Lecha, the next pasuk, there should not be for you Elohim Acherim any other gods Alpanoi. So Rashbam and Chumash explains, what does the word Alpanoi mean? And in my face. Means, yes, you believe in me. Yes, I'm there. You're adding something else with me. Prohibited. Lo Yehi Lecha Elohim Acherim, even though it's Alpanoi, even though it's in my presence. I mean, you believe in my presence. You believe in me. It's not that you're denying God. But you can't have Elohim Acherim even Alpanoi, even with me also. That's what you understand Pshat in the Pasuk. But the more doesn't bring that Pasuk. The more it brings the Pasuk, Zaveich Elohim Yocharam, Putzil Hashem Levadai. So, that's an argument that's not Pshat in the Pasuk, not like the Rashbam. If you look at the Gemara, that's not correct. The Gemara is not discussing the prohibition. Is the Gemara, brought in your book on page 4. What's the point of the Gemara? To find the source of the prohibition? Or to find a source that this is something which is worthy of destruction? The point of the Gemara is that this is something which is worthy of destruction. Not that this is where the prohibition is from. Prohibition can be from Lo Yehi Lecha Elohim Acherim Alpanoi. It can be from Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Whatever you want to use the source. The Gemara is saying, you're saying that when you do shituf, it's a lesser form of Avodah Zarah and you don't get destroyed. Had the Jews replaced God with the golden calf, they would have been destroyed. But now that they combine the two, okay, it's not good, but you're not going to get it destroyed. The Gemara says, no. Even together, also is destruction. So the point of the Gemara is, what's the source that we know, Zaveich LeElohim Yocharam, those who worship other gods, Yochanan will be destroyed. Ah, that's the point of this pasuk. So the Gemara is not discussing the source of the prohibition at all. So where's the source of the prohibition? The Gemara does not say anywhere in Shas where the source of the prohibition is. The Gemara assumes it. But that's Pshat. The prohibition of Avodah Zarah includes, like the Rashbam says, Lo Yehi Lecha Elohim Acherim Alpanoi. You can't do anything with me. You can't have anything with me. I'm there. You're not denying me. You can't have anything else besides. Even with me, you can't have something else. Okay. Now, how do we know that the Hashem's reaction to that is as significant, is as extreme as to replacing Hashem? I have a pasuk for that too. So this Gemara is a source as far as we're concerned. The Gemara mentions the concept of Shituf. But the more, this is not the source of the prohibition. That's an important idea, because this other Sefer wants to say, you see this Gemara, that's not pshat in Lahiluk. Again, that's not the point of the Gemara. Okay, so now the main point of the discussion is this Tosis, this Tosis which is brought on page 5. The Gemara tells me that there's a prohibition to do business, to become a partner with a non-Jew. You become a partner with somebody, eventually you're going to have a dispute. That's life. Right? You have a dispute, you're going to go to adjudication. You go to court, he's going to swear. He's going to swear by the name of his Avodah Zarah, his God. Right? So here we go. So you, by getting into that relationship, you are setting yourself up that you're going to cause this guy to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk says, Lo yishma al picha, the name of Avodah Zarah should not be mentioned because of you. But through you, that name should be mentioned. So the prohibition is not Avodah Zarah. You're not serving anything. You're not doing anything wrong. But we distance ourselves from Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, so far that we do not want a Jew facilitating the mention of Avodah Zarah. That's how far we take it. So if you're going to go into business partnership with this guy, you're doing that. That's what you're doing. So you can't, don't get involved in the partnership. Okay. So comes Tosfos, and Tosfos says, well, okay, you did. You did already. You lent the money. Jews, what business? What do you do? Right, they couldn't do anything else anyway. They lent money. Okay? Comes to collect the money. The guy says, I swear I paid back. I swear by the name of it. We say, whoa. Stop. Don't say it. So, well, you know what? You don't really swear. I'm not going to do it. I'm walking out of here. I'm not going to pay you. I'm not going to discuss it. I'm not going to prove it. I'm out of here. So you're going to lose your loan. Are you allowed to let him swear or not? So the Rashbam, so the Tosfos brings to the Medrash, the Rashbam says, no, it's also, lo yishma al picha, you cannot be mentioned because of you. Straightforward, right? Comes the Rebbeinu Tam says, no, I have a way to permit it. This could be a potential tremendous loss for the Jew. Person needs a penasa. I have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Now let's give a background from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, and we actually mentioned in the, put it in the Rambam, sorry. Did I? No, I didn't put it in. Okay. The Gemara Avodah Zarah says there's a prohibition of doing business with the non-Jews around the holidays. The religious people that have Avodah Zarah, you do business with them around the holidays, you sell to them, you buy from them, you lend to them, you borrow from them, you pay back to them, you collect from them, all prohibited. So Moore says, you know, listen, I understand buying and selling. Moore says, he's so happy, he made a good sale, he'll go to his Avodah Zarah on the holiday, go to the temple, and he'll bow down to his Avodah Zarah and say, thank you, Avodah Zarah, thank you so much, I'm so happy I made the do this business. The Moore says, like, what's with, you know, so you pay him back, the Jew paying him back, he's so happy, he goes to his temple, and he says, thank you. What about you collect from him? You collect the loan. You lend him $10,000. 2 days before the holiday, he says, you know, I just did some good business. Great, I come, I collect the loan. Moore says, don't do it. Can't do it. Moore says, why? Moore says, like, you know, I mean, that's painful. Like, paying back money, he's not happy. Moore says, yeah, he is happy. Even though you don't like sticking money in your pocket and paying it out, but you're happy you got it off your head. So he's going to go to his Avodah Zarah on the day of the holiday. He'll go to the temple and he'll thank his Avodah Zarah. He had the ability to pay back his loan. So Moore says, what's the problem with that? Well, Moore says two suggestions. One is, you're causing a goy to do Avodah Zarah. Leif Na'iver, you cannot facilitate an Avera, even to a non-Jew. All right? I want to go into business. Goy can't eat, not allowed to eat every menachai, not allowed to eat meat, which is taken off an animal before the animal died. So I want to sell it. No, can't sell it. Can't give it to a guy to eat. If they ever, you are facilitating in some way a sin. Non-Jews not allowed to eat it. You're facilitating a sin. You can't have a guy do a Avodah Zarah because you can't cause a guy to worship his gods. Well, he's going to say thank you to his gods. He's going to bring a sacrifice to his god. He's so happy he paid back his loan. The Moore says, yeah, but you know, if you don't try and collect it now, sometimes it's now or never. So Moore says, if it's now or never, it's permitted. Which means this prohibition, since it's not direct, it's a little bit indirect, so we're going to prohibit it, but in case of loss, it's permitted. The Moore says, well, there's another issue. Lo yishma al picha. He's mentioning the name. He's going to go to the Lord and say, thank you, Avodah Zarah, I paid back my oil. Well, why is he saying that? Because of you. So you're, it's the same problem we have over here. So the Mora says, but because of hesed, it's mutter. Because of a loss, it's mutter. So the Rebbe Tam says the same thing over here. He says, you know what? Not comparable. Not comparable. Over there, he might go, he might not go, he might get sick, he might stay home, you know, he might, maybe he's not, you know, whatever. Over here, he's about to swear in court. That's it. It's on the table. Tosfos says, I have a new idea. You know, the truth is nowadays they swear by saints. They swear by the Kadeshim. Kadeshim is a saint. It's a play on words. Kadeshim also means other things in the Lashon of the Torah. So they're saints, whatever. But it's referring to the saints. They swear by the name of saint so and so. He swears. They're not swearing by it, but they don't believe that the saint is God. They swear by the name of so and so and the name of. So you're swearing by a combination of by the saint. Plus, now there's an issue of a Jew to swear by somebody. I swear by the name of my Rosh Hashiva. You can't do that. It's also to do that. Right? There's an issue to swear by any. You only can be Shmoy Tishavay. You can only swear in the name of Hashem. You can't swear in the name of anything else. Be Shmoy Tishavay. You swear. You swear in the name of Hashem, nothing else. You shouldn't swear. When you do, the halacha mandates a Shua, it has to be the name of Hashem. They swear by their God plus the saint. Is that prohibited? Tosfos says, not for a non-Jew. The Tosfos language, it says, well, they combine together with their God. They have Shem Shemayim, Kibrosim al-Davaracha. They have, they mean Hashem, plus something else also. They swear by the name of their Savior. So that's something else. It's a combination of the two. Tosfos says, that's not a problem. So Tosfos seems to be saying that this prohibition of Avodah Zarah doesn't apply to a non-Jew. The combining God with something else is a Jewish problem. So for a Jew to accept their religion is Avodah Zarah. A Jew would have to give up his life not to accept their religion, which the Jews did many times. But for a non-Jew, it's permitted. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not making him do anything wrong. That's what Tosfos seems to say. So that's the simple reading of Tosfos. Tosfos seems to say that, so according to Tosfos, for a non-Jew, this religion is 100% permitted, and you know maybe it's even a good thing. There's a Gemara in the Gemara says an atheist is worse in many ways than a religious non-Jew. Atheism is not better. So okay, it's better to be an atheist. You know. It's not better to be an atheist. The Gemara has choice things to say about atheists also. Not a lot of good things to say about those who worship Avodah Zarah, and not great things to say about atheists either. So, you know, but Tosfos says, we found the solution. This is permitted for them. Alright? So it's great. Tosfos seems to read like that. And this is brought down on page 6, this is brought in Halacha L'maisa, the Ramah says you're allowed to make a partnership with a non-Jew nowadays. You're allowed to go and make such an arrangement. The Gemara says it's prohibited because they were swearing by Avodah Zarah. Nowadays they're not swearing by Avodah Zarah, so you're allowed to make the partnership. It's permitted. In page 7, the Shach points out that this halacha goes beyond partnerships. It goes back to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah doing business with that. So there's a prohibition of doing business. The Tosfos over there asks a question. So the Gemara says that 3 days prior to the holiday, you can't do business with a non-Jew. So the Gemara makes a list of some of the holidays. There's a Gemara Gemara mentions Yom Rish on the first day of the week is a holiday. So the person says, okay, so let's do the math. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is 3 days beforehand. Now there's an opinion of the Gemara where Shmuel says one day is enough. There's also an opinion that says 3 days before and 3 days afterwards. Do the math, Rabbi Sai. Sunday is the day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is prohibited because 3 days afterwards. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday is 3 days beforehand. So Tarsus says, what do? We live amongst the garden. This is all of our business. So Tarsus goes through multiple arguments why it's forbidden nowadays. One of the arguments, the Dark and Moshe says, the Ramah says, is this Tarsus in Sanhedrin? It's not about Azorah. So it's not a problem. So you can do business on the day of the day itself, even theoretically. Nowadays, maybe I don't know. You have to the question. There's another Gemara. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, and Chutz Lor, it's only prohibited the day itself. But the day itself would be, with, you know, the idea of blue laws wasn't such a bad thing for the Jews, theoretically, doing business on Sundays. Theoretically, halachically, it wasn't such a bad thing. That the more it says, Chutzlaretz, they're not really so into their Avodah Zarah. They're still, the Goyim and Eretz were really into the Avodah Zarah. Chutzlaretz, 3 days before, no. 3 days afterwards, no. On the day itself, that was Taka problem. The day itself, there actually was an issue. They didn't. They would go to their temple, etc. But not before, not afterwards. But on the day itself, it should be prohibited. But their Moor seems to be saying that even that day itself, he says, yes, a person wants to be machmir, he could. There's room to argue that you should be machmir. But it's a private thing. You don't have to impose that on anybody else. You want to do it, but don't impose that. You're a rabbi, paskin that it's mutter.
We're all set. Let's go.
Okay. If you stop right now, I guess that'd be true. Some people want to leave now before you hear the rest of the shiur. It'd be good. Okay. Comes the night of Yehuda. This chuba is actually from the son of the night of Yehuda. It's published in the night of Yehuda. It's actually from the son of the night of Yehuda. And the night of Yehuda said, that's not pshat in Torah. You got it all wrong. Rabbi Yisai, you read the Tosfos wrong. You got it all wrong. The prohibition of shituf, of adding something together with God, like the Rambam says, applies to Jews, to non-Jews alike. That's not what Tosfos is addressing. Tosfos is addressing something else totally. Tosfos is addressing the prohibition of swearing by the name of something. So for a Jew, there's a mitzvah of ubishmoy tishaveya. You must only swear by Hashem's name. That doesn't apply to a non-Jew. So a non-Jew wants to swear by the name of Saint so-and-so, it's a date. He wants to swear the name of so-and-so together with God, also it's a date. He wants to worship the two, we kill him. Right? That's about his aura. Not allowed to do it. We're not discussing worship over here. Tosfos never discussed worship. Tosfos discussed swearing by the name of. The Chassam Sofer follows the night of Yehuda. So these are two of the main pillars of Psak. The Chassam Sofer and the Klai Yisrael, the Chassam Sofer and the night of Yehuda both paskin that Shittim is prohibited for a non-Jew. Which means the Ramah is discussing a very limited point. I can do a business with him because the only issue is swearing, and swearing is permitted. But if I'm going to facilitate a non-Jew worshipping his religion, that's a problem. Actually worshipping his religion would be a problem. So going back to the case over there of doing business with them, where that issue over there is worship, that's prohibited. Not like the Shach. So the Shach is understanding that the Tosfos is saying it's not worship. It's not a problematic worship, form of worship for a non-Jew. The Nadi Behuda and the Chassam Sofer is saying it is. It's not a problematic form of swearing for a non-Jew. It is a problematic form of worship for a non-Jew, just like a Jew. So halacha l'maisa. The Rambam is very clear, the Halakha L'maisa. The Rambam says very clearly that Yishmaelim are not considered idol worshippers of Avodah Zarah. And the Halakha is that you cannot drink the wine of a non-Jew, but a non-Jew, the Gemara says, a non-Jew who doesn't worship idols, the wine is permitted by Hanoah. I can sell it. I can't drink it, but I can sell it. So I go into the office at the end of the year, one of my clients drops off this $300 bottle of wine. Right? Non-Jewish wine. So it's prohibited by Hanoah. I said, you're great. You know, I have actually someone I want to give a bottle of wine to. I can take that bottle of wine and give it to one of my other clients, or one of my... I need to give him a present. Great. It's prohibited by Hanoah. I can't get any benefit out of it. Well, it depends. What's the status? If I live in a Muslim country, the Rambam says I can do that. The non-Jewish wine came from somebody who's Muslim. It's permitted by Hanoah. But here in America, we assume it came from somebody who's not Muslim. Eventually, maybe we'll worry about that then, you know. Depending what country in Europe you live in, right? Right? France, maybe, you know. So what do I do with it? So I know somebody. So he asked very best, actually, Rabbi Frank's father-in-law. He said, leave it out in the gutter. So he says, I don't know what happened to it, But for that year, my newspaper came to my door every single day. Not the street. I don't know what happened to it. He said, but I don't know. So, but I didn't do it for that. I didn't actively give it for the purpose of Hanoah. I gave it, I threw it out. So what do you do? So just pass it, what do you do? If you're concerned about this issue and you have a secretary, tell the secretary when it comes in, don't put it on your desk. She should keep it on her desk. You'll come by, look at it. If it says a nice little O-U on the bottom somewhere over there, take it. If not, you never rekind it. It's not yours. There's no issue of Hanoah. It's not yours to give away. I'm not giving it away. So the secretary knows she's supposed to do something with it. You know, she'll figure out what to do with it. All right? So that would be the solution practically for that situation. If you're expecting those type of things, which would be prohibited by Hanoah. But the Rambam says very clearly if it belongs to... Now, according to Tosfos, that wouldn't be true. If you're according to the Shach, it's not about a Zohar. For them, it's permitted. This wine would not be also b'hanot. Now the Miri on record. I want to point out. I put the Miri in because I want you to know that there's a very clear dissenting opinion. I want you to know that the Miri is basically stands as a shitas yichidah. He is the only one who has this opinion. I actually saw an essay online. I would love to try to remember the person's name. I don't. 50 plus pages about pointing out how the Miri is like, it's the Miri on one side and all of everybody else on the other side not saying this permission that he says. And of course he's advocating we should follow the Miri, not everybody else. Okay, but that's his point. But so Miri points out that nobody's back, but he's the beginning of a sense of a Zohar. We have this Mishnah, you can't do business with them 2 days beforehand, the day of. And, you know, even the most holy rabbis are not being careful. Nobody's careful about it. Like Goyin, V'loi Rav, V'loi Chacham, V'loi Talmud, V'loi Chosid, V'loi Mischasid. Right? So what's the pshat? Why is nobody... It's a halacha. It's a Sifrei Shulchan Aruch. How do we get away with this? It's a Mishnah, it's a Rambam. How do we get away with this? So he says, and he lived in Italy, you know, right? So he says, the truth is, he brings all of the opinions of Tosfos, all the different suggestions Tosfos makes. Each one he has a question on it. So on page 14, he says, and mitoch kach ikra dvarim nearly. Shadvarim elo kulam lo nemru elo evdech alilim et sarasayim et salameim. Those who actually worship idols. Abazmanim halolu mutal lagamri. There's a Gemara Notzri Lailamasr, which many Rishonim understand that that's referring to Natsrus. Natsrus was the name of the Gemara uses for their religion. That's not what it means. It's referring to Pasuk and Yirmiyah, etc. It's a type of actual idol worships. It's not worshippers. It's nothing to do with what we have nowadays. Their Sunday was a problem because that was their Sunday, and they would actually worship the sun on Sunday, and that's the problem. Nothing to do with their religion. Now, the truth is, when it was moved from originally, when this religion, Christianity, started, the original day of worship was Saturday because they were Jewish. Eventually, they moved it to Sunday to make it clear that it's not the same as the Jews. When they moved it to Sunday. It was one day over, but many things which they undertook in the Gemara, they appropriated for themselves many of the forms of idol worship which existed already. The holiday which we're actually talking about right now, the Gemara says, Gemara mentions it was already in existence before this fellow came along, and it was a day of idol worship, and they were used to worshiping idols on that day already, so they appropriated that for themselves. So it's not very clear when this fellow was born, whether the story is true, it's apocryphal, etc. But they wanted to make a holiday. There was a holiday which existed already on the calendar. The Goyim were doing it anyway. They're going out there and missionizing to the Goyim. Let's pick a day that they're familiar with. So that's why we ended up with December 25th. So the worship of the sun on the first day of the week was the day that they chose to now become their day of worship. So it was connected back, but they don't worship the sun anymore. They worship their religion, whatever that is, which he feels is not prohibited for them. So there's no avodah zarah involved in it. You're allowed to do business with them, etc., etc., etc. And that's what the Miri says. Again, the Miri is on record like this. But he is a sole opinion of a sort. The main opinion is like the Rambam. Now, just to touch on Ism a little bit, I didn't put it to the packet too much. So the Rambam is very clear that Islam is not Avodah Zarah. The Rambam in the Tshuva says the same, to the point that if a Jew was threatened under threat of death to say he believes in their religion, he'd be permitted. That's what the Rambam says. If a person threatens with Christianity or to be killed, he has to give up his life, not for Islam. The Radvaz says not like that. The Radvaz says very clearly not like that. Radvaz was the, interesting, the Radvaz had the position of the Rambam. He was the Nagid. He was the leader of the Jewry in Egypt about 300 years after the Rambam. And the Rambam had that position years before, and the Rambam's son had that position as well. 300 years later, the Radvaz was on record that if a Jew would be threatened, give up your life or accept Islam, he would have to give up his life. That's the opinion of the Radvaz. There's a tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer was asked, are you allowed to enter into an ambassador was, Israeli ambassador was country X, and there was some individual in that country had passed away, and they're holding services for the individual, obviously religious services, they're holding the services in the temple. Is the ambassador allowed to go, representing the Israeli nation? Is he allowed to attend this event? So Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva in Chelek Zayin about that case, and the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva about it in Chelek Yudalet. And he discusses both scenarios. What about if it's in some form of worship of a temple of the Christianity? What about if it's in a mosque? So Rav Avadya says in a mosque is permitted, based on the Rambam. Tzitz Eliezer says not like that, based on a Ran. We'll just end with this Ran. The Ran says there's a Ran in the Sefer Sanhedrin. Based in regards to the discussion of what exactly was Haman. Mordechai did not bow down to Haman, and the Mordechai says that was correct, and everybody else was at fault for bowing down to Haman. What was Haman? So everybody knows the Midrash that Haman put an Avodah Zarah on his chest. The Mordechai says not like that. The Mordechai says it was not Avodah Zarah. It was that they were elevating him to a status of being like some powerful individual. It wasn't Hishtachavah Shelel Elohus, but it still was prohibited. Because to elevate this person to a status of something greater than the average person and bowing down to them, not as their, just, you know, I greet somebody, I'm Japanese, I greet somebody, it's not a problem. Right? But over here, I'm doing it because I believe this person has a certain power, etc. That's a problem of it's, even though it's not Elohus, it's still prohibited. So the Ran says, from here you see that both in Christianity and in Islam, he says those people who worship the Meshuggah, right, the crazy guy. That's how he writes it. Right, even though they're not bowing down for Elohus, it's still prohibited. It goes in the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, based on that, the mosque which is used for that purpose will now get a status of a place which would be prohibited for a Jew to enter. So Rav Avadya has a tshuva which says it's permitted to enter into a mosque. Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva where he says it's prohibited. He quotes the Tzitz Eliezer, and he says, Yedidi, you know, tremendous respect for the Tzitz Eliezer, for Rav Allenberg, when he says, I disagree with him on this point. Already, this is not the first time I had this argument with him way back when in Chelek Beis, right, 40 years ago, and I still disagree with him that it's permitted to enter into a mosque. So, halacha lemaisa, if a person needs to get a psak in it, you should ask your local Orthodox rabbi. This is not a halacha shir. This is to give you a background to understand the sugya. You see that there are two opinions on that. In regards to Christianity, it seems to be across the board, with the exception of the Meiri, that we're dealing with something which is problematic for a Jew, for sure. Even according to Tosfos, everybody agrees that a Jew should not enter into a place of worship. For a Jew, this is prohibited worship, even though for the non-Jew it might be permitted according to Tosfos, but for a Jew it's prohibited, and a Jew should not enter into such a place. Ramanash Klein is a tshuva. Common question, and I remember this question: voting place. The elections were taking place in a church. Are you allowed to go vote there? Not in the sanctuary. Not in the sanctuary. You know, is there any difference between the two, etc.? Remember the truth about it. This question of a Jew entering into a place of non-Jewish worship, is it permitted for a Jew? This is an issue which has really had many practical ramifications above and beyond my ambassador going to attend such an event. It has many, many ramifications. A blood drive. Those type of things. So, etc. There are issues in general. The assumption is, if it's in the sanctuary, it's prohibited. If it's in a room which is not a sanctuary, there's differences of opinion. Some say it's still prohibited, and the whole because there's a halacha you can't go into chutzner. Basically, chutzner of the non-Jew place of worship, even the chutzner is prohibited. Person wants to go. He's an architect. Somebody asked him the shaila. He's an architect. He wants to go view different cathedrals for the purpose of architecture. Is it permitted? I told him no. A person can't go in for that, even for that purpose. Okay, I think we've touched on the topic. At this point, Mr. Ratner is going to share a few words with us. I'm just going to close with a short story. In 1987, the first and only time that they had a Discovery Weekend program, Eish HaTorah had a Discovery Weekend program in Cleveland, Ohio, was this holiday in Cleveland, 1987, a few years ago. And I attended there with my sister. And one of the presentations was by Rabbi Berger, who was the main person who presented these things about prophecies which came true. And the question was, what are the mathematical probabilities of these prophecies becoming true? Since he's going to give us 10 from the Old Testament and 2 from the New Testament. 10 from the Old Testament, 2 from the New Testament. He says, I know you Jews. You want to hear the 2 from the New Testament first, right? So I have this feeling today, Baruch Hashem, we have a great crowd over here, but I do believe that the best way to get a Jew to come out and learn on the 25th is talk about a different religion. Yeah. Thank you for coming.